Do you know about YOLO? Anyone heard about YOLO? The new acronym, Y-O-L-O. You only live once. It's used by a lot of people to excuse their bad behavior. You say, well, you only live once. Well, when I was a much younger man, I understood you only live once. But I didn't use that as an excuse for bad behavior. I used it, on the other hand, as kind of an underlying foundation for my desire to make the best out of my life, to spend my life in a way that was fitting. And I have to confess that back then, I sort of thought of myself as something special, you know, maybe even more special than other kids my age. And, you know, I was good at school and got good grades and all of that. And so I was concerned that I would find the right path so that I wouldn't go to waste. Oh, my goodness. Terrible, I know. It is good for us to find the right path, but not out of a sense of pride. So I was faced with the decision, you know, the choice, the question, what am I going to do with my life? Of course, you come to the end of high school, you're facing decisions and choices that will guide the course of your life. What you're going to study, where you'll go to school, or what work you'll begin. Unfortunately, I turned for advice to two of the worst counselors. First of all, the desire for money. And second of all, my own reasoning. Bad advice that both of them gave. I applied for scholarships at various institutions, and Central Washington University over in Ellensburg offered me a pretty good scholarship. And the only stipulation was that I had to major in a technology-related field. And up to that point, I had been planning on pursuing music and sort of listening to my heart and following what I thought at that time were my dreams. But the fear of losing that money, you know, I had to go with that. It was like I couldn't walk away from it. And so I allowed that to determine what I was going to do. So the next question was, well, what's my technology-related area that I'm going to study? So that's when I turned to my own mind. I said, well, I've always been good at math and science, and I've heard that engineers use math and science, so I'll study mechanical engineering. And that's what I did. 5 years later, I walked across the platform and took diploma in hand. And there I was with my degree in mechanical engineering with very, very little drive to spend my life on engineering. I didn't have a passion for engineering. I could have gotten a job, I suppose. I might have been a little happy, I don't know. But I certainly didn't have any burning desire to work as an engineer. Well, the Lord started bringing me around a little bit, bringing me to my senses. And I started thinking, maybe I could use my engineering degree to serve the church. To serve the poor, maybe the church could use me in the missions someplace. They must need an engineer someplace in the world. So I went to my parish priest at the time, source of all the answers, right? And I asked if he could help me to find a place in the church where I could serve as an engineer. I don't remember what he said exactly in response to that question. But at some point in the conversation, he asked me if I had ever thought about becoming a priest. I thought, that seems like it's kind of out of left field. Where is this coming from? But I answered truthfully. And I said, yes, when I was little, I did want to be a priest. But I don't think that's what I want to do now. I don't think that's what God wants from me. And I was thinking, we're done with that conversation, right? He persisted, and he asked, why not? Why don't you think that God wants you to be a priest? And there I was, the proverbial deer in the headlights. I didn't know what to say. It totally caught me off guard. And I said something like, well, I can't imagine getting in front of people and speaking day after day, week after week. He said, don't worry, there are graces for that. Okay. So, my world was suddenly turned upside down as I began to consider the possibility of becoming a priest. But what was really happening inside was that I was beginning to stop asking myself the question, what do I want? And I started turning to the Lord to ask, what do you want? What is it that you want me to do? And slowly but surely, I came to be more and more convinced that God's plan was probably better than mine. I started to realize how foolish I had been to think that I could come up with a better plan for my life than God already had in mind. That I could somehow discover a happier life than the one that God wanted for me. And so I finally made a decision to say, Lord, I will do what you want me to do. I will follow your design and your plan for my life. Because I believe that whatever it is, when I find it, it's going to bring me a greater joy, a greater satisfaction and contentment and happiness than I could find anywhere else. So, I entered the seminary thinking, all right, maybe I'll put this idea to rest. Discern that I'm not called to be a priest and get on with my life as I planned. It was a long process of the change of heart. But when I entered the seminary, I found that there was such this immense peace and joy in my heart. I had never experienced it before. And it wasn't that the lights all went on and I suddenly realized, I must be a priest. I have to be a priest. It wasn't that at all. I wasn't sure of that question. But I was so consoled and so peaceful because I knew that that was where I needed to be right then. And I simply needed to be open to whatever God had in store for me. And that was my attitude throughout the course of seminary, through philosophy and theology. So towards the end of my time in seminary, the time for ordination was drawing near. And before you make that step to be ordained to the diaconate, you got to be pretty sure that you're on the right track. You have to be sure, or as sure as you can be, that this really is what God plans for your life. So I went on a long retreat right before ordination day to the diaconate. And during that retreat, I had to ask myself the question, is this really it? Is this what God is calling you to? I asked another question. What would you rather do? I asked myself that question. What would you rather do with your life? And my answer was, I can't imagine anything that I would rather do with my life. And that was good enough for me to go ahead and take the steps into St. Peter's Basilica to be ordained a deacon. Then, 7 years ago to this day, I walked down the aisle of the cathedral to be ordained a priest. And again, I had that sense of peace, a greater joy than I had ever, ever experienced. I look at the pictures from my ordination day. I have this silly smile on my face in almost every picture. My mouth hurt at the end of that day because I had been smiling so much. Why do I tell you all of this? not to draw attention to my own story, but to bear witness to you, to give testimony to the goodness of God, to show you that in my life, God was true to his promise, that if I followed his way, he would bring me joy, and a greater joy than I could find any place else. On ordination day and the night before, they weren't easy days. There were a lot of things that were falling apart. I found out that one of my brothers had decided he was not coming to my mass, my first mass or my ordination. There was strife in the family that was cropping up over that. All these different things seemed to be falling apart. And of course, then there's the little whispering in your ear. Are you sure? Are you really sure that you want to do this? The Lord just asks for our yes. That's all. He can do a lot with our yes. But he can't do anything with our no. He won't overstep his bounds. He won't force us into a yes. He asks gently for a yes and for our cooperation. Unfortunately, our temptations and sometimes our tendencies lead us to a no. Because God asks something, and then we say, how could I possibly do that, Lord? I can't do that. I'll be the laughingstock of the whole town. Or what will my family think of me? Or I'm just not sure. I don't think I could do that. And then maybe this happens in your life. It happens sometimes in mine. I make that no decision, and then I justify myself by saying, I probably wasn't hearing right what the Lord was asking me to do. It's probably misunderstanding what he was asking. He wouldn't have really asked me to do this or that thing. And I just sort of console myself with that. But all he's asking for is a yes. A yes. And even though sometimes it's easy to focus on all the bad and all of the risk and all of the problems in life and, you know, all of the different considerations, it's just a simple yes that he asks. When was the last time you went to God in prayer and asked him, Lord, what is it that you want me to do? Not just talking about the long-term decisions about marriage or career or whatever like that, but in the small things of everyday life, are we asking God, Lord, what is it that you want me to do here? What's your purpose for me now? We're very good at saying, God, I want this and I want that. Lord God, protect my family. Take care of this or that situation. But we're not always coming before the Lord asking, what is it you want me to do? Show me your way. When we start asking that question and listening for his response, then we'll have that guidance of the Holy Spirit. We'll be more attentive to it. We'll be more sensitive to it. And we'll be able to find that path that's going to lead us to a joy that's greater than any path that we would strike out on our own.